Glad to see everyone here back with us this evening. I hope you have your Bibles handy tonight, as you will definitely be needing them. As I was telling someone earlier today, when we get done with tonight's lessons, those pages of your New Testament may just be smoking. We're going to be turning to a lot of pages. So we'll be taking your New Testament part of your Bible as we're going to look at the message of the New Testament. What exactly is it? What is the message of the New Testament? Can we summarize it? And tonight we're going to have, if you'll bear with me for just a few moments, a 26-point sermon, because we're going to combine 1st and 2nd Thessalonians. But we're going to have an entire overview of the New Testament in just a few short moments. So bear with me for just a minute. The New Testament, as well as the Old, as we look at the Old Testament, we see 333 prophecies concerning our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. And all 333 prophecies came to fruition in Jesus Christ, our Messiah, our King, our Savior. We see the first promise there given, first prophecy given by God Himself in Genesis 3 and verse 15. We see again the promise of Jesus Christ in Isaiah 7 and verse 14, again in Isaiah 9. We see it in Jeremiah 31 and Micah 5. Now friends, picture this concerning the Old Testament, concerning the entire Bible. Men who have never met come together each with a piece of carved marble, and when they fit those pieces of marble together, they create a perfect statue. And that statue, my friend, we might label as a statue of Jesus Christ. Because that's the story that the Bible tells, the story of Jesus. The Old Testament is there for us to know that story and that it is true. The key verse of the entire New Testament, I would say, would be John 14 and verse 6. In John 14 and verse 6 we read, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And there can be no doubt, as we just mentioned a moment ago, 40 men from different walks of life, from different parts of the world, wrote a book that fit perfectly together to tell one central story. The New Testament revolves around Jesus. And as such, friends, it is inspired of God. We read as much in 2 Timothy chapter 3, 16 and 17. There, Timothy is told by Paul that all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. Literally there, the Scripture means every Scripture was God-breathed. We have the perfect, inerrant Word of God. And friends, when we look at the New Testament in particular, we see 27 logical books that form one book. In Matthew chapter 1 and verse 1, we read there that this was to be the book of the generations of Jesus. The word translated book there is the word Biblios, from which we get our word Bible. When we look at Matthew through John, we see the life of Jesus Christ. The life of Christ is given there by four different men, four different accounts concerning one gospel. Sometimes we make the mistake, and maybe ignorantly so. Friends, in the Bible and New Testament, we don't have four gospels. We have four accounts of one gospel. They all tell the same story. The story of Jesus upon this earth. But Matthew through John gives us the life of Christ, and the entire purpose of Matthew through John is to convince the sinner that Jesus is indeed the Lord. They were written to convince. In Acts, we see how to become a Christian. The purpose of Acts is to convert. In Romans through Jude, we have how to live the Christian life. We might say to confirm. In Revelation, we read about how to die as a Christian. It's there for the Christian's consolation. But let's begin with Matthew. And let's step by step, book by book, let's make our way through the New Testament. Friends, the book of Matthew was written to the Hebrews, written expressly to the Jews. And friends, it stressed kingship. The first question is found in the New Testament is found in Matthew 2 and verse 2. There the wise men have come and they're asking a question. Where is he that is born King of the Jews? Now let's turn over to Matthew chapter 16. Matthew 16. And the verses that I give you tonight, these are key verses concerning each book. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 13. When Jesus came to the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elias, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." He saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." Friends, we see there the great confession, a confession that we all must each echo if we are to obey the Son of God, that he is indeed the Son of God. Another key verse is Matthew 1 and verse 21 that shows a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecy. We look at chapter 1 of Matthew. Verse 21, "And she shall bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins." We have the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5 through 7. We look and continue, and the great invitation that we mentioned this morning is the scene there in Matthew 11, 28 through 30. And the great commission in Matthew 28, 18 through 20. There's Matthew in a nutshell. What about Mark? Mark was written to the Romans, where Matthew was written to the Jews, written to the Hebrews. Mark written to the Romans. It was written to military minds in a way that the military minds would understand. 19 times in 16 chapters, the word "straightway" is found. We see in that word urgency, immediacy. And we look, and the book is summed up in chapter 7 and verse 37. "He hath done all things well." And again, the Great Commission is echoed in chapter 16, 15 and 16. Moving on to Luke, we see that Luke wrote to a man by the name of Theophilus. Theophilus is a Greek name, so we can conclude there that Luke, rather, wrote to the Greeks. Chapter 1 and verse 1 tells us as much. Luke's name appears only three times in the New Testament. In Colossians 4 and verse 14, Paul refers to him as his beloved or as the beloved's physician. 2 Timothy 4 and verse 11 and Philemon verse 24, each time he's mentioned there as a fellow laborer with Paul. Key verses in the book of Luke, chapter 2 and verse 52. Chapter 2, Luke 2 and verse 52. "And Jesus increased in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man." We turn over then to chapter 14. Luke 14. This key passage begins in verse 26. Notice what Christ is saying here. "If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. And whosoever doth not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest, haply, after he hath laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold it begin to mock him, saying, 'This man began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king, going to make war against another king, sitteth down not first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an ambassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever he be of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." sends a clear message. We look now at John. Matthew written to the Hebrews, Mark written to the Romans, Luke to the Greeks, John written to all mankind. The key verse we already said is John 14 and verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. We see the I am passages in the book of John. John 6, John 8, John 10, John 11, and John 14. Notice now John 20. John 20, 30 and 31. Here we have the concluding statement of John, although we do have another chapter, but John could be summed up with 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written, that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through His name. Friends, what we have in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John are four accounts from four different vantage points. One written to the Hebrews, one to the Romans, one to the Greeks, and then one that addresses all of mankind. We see that Jesus Christ is indeed the King. We see that in the book of Matthew. We see that He does all things well. We see that in the book of Mark. We see that He was the perfect man, physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually. And friends, we see that in the book of Luke. And friends, we see that He is the only way to the Father. From the book of John. We look at Acts, and we begin to see there this book that we might refer to as the book of conversions. In Acts 4 and verse 12, we see that we are saved by Jesus. There is no other name under heaven that is given that we are by which we are saved. We're saved by Jesus Christ. We see different accounts of conversions all through the book of Acts. We see Acts 2 and verse 38. After the men had asked men and brethren, what shall we do? Peter's response, repent and be baptized, every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. We go on to Acts chapter 3, Acts 8, Acts 10, Acts 16, 18 and 22. In each of those instances, we see someone being brought to Christ. Someone is being converted and someone becomes a Christian. And each time, they're baptized for the remission of their sins. Acts is indeed a book of conversions. We also see, friends, in the book of Acts, the establishment of His church. In Acts chapter 2, chapter 5, we see there that we ought to obey God rather than men. Acts 8 and verse 4, they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word. Everywhere they went, friends, they established the Lord's church. The book of Romans. In Romans through Jude, we have 21 epistles that reveal how to live the Christian life. In Romans chapter 1, Romans 1 and verse 4, we read, and declared to be the Son of God with power, according to the Spirit of holiness by the resurrection from the dead. Friends, we serve a risen Savior. We drop down to verse 16. Paul writes here, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Friends, there's power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Romans 2 and verse 16 is another key verse. But I want us to turn over to Romans 6. Romans 6 verses 3 and 4, friends, there we have a picture of baptism. What does it mean to be baptized? Paul tells us here in Romans chapter 6, 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore, we are buried with him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, and that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. Key verse there, friends. We have a picture of baptism. Romans 16 and verse 16, the churches of Christ salute you. Churches that belong to him in his possession. In the book of 1 Corinthians, we read in chapter 3 and verse 11, for no other foundation can anyone lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Friends, if our house, so to speak, is not built upon the proper foundation, it will crumble. If our spiritual house is not built upon Jesus Christ, it will crumble. We learn that in 1 Corinthians. We'll go over to chapter 13 of 1 Corinthians, and there we have what is known as the chapter of love. Specifically, I want us to notice chapter 13 and verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, or love, these three. But the greatest of these is love. One day, friends, there will be no more need for faith because we'll be able to stand face to face with our Lord and our Savior. At that time, our hope will have been realized. But friends, love abides forever. Love will be in heaven with us. We learn that there from 1 Corinthians 13. Go over a couple of chapters to 1 Corinthians 15, 57, and 58 there. And friends, we learn there about the resurrection. Again, it's important to remember that we serve a risen Savior. Without that resurrection, we have no hope. And Paul makes mention of that in verses 57 and 58. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Why is it not in vain, friends? Because we can look forward to our bodily resurrection. We can look forward to that because of Jesus. Moving over to 2 Corinthians, we have as the theme of this particular book, triumph in Christ. We see that in chapter 2 and verse 14. Notice that the triumph is in Christ. It's not in Moses. Triumph is not found in David. It's not in Abraham. It's not in John the Immerser, nor any other man. But the triumph, friends, the victory, is in Jesus Christ. Through him, we are more than conquerors. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10, we learn there, friends, that we're going to be judged by Jesus Christ. We're going to be judged by him. And so, friends, it's important that we obey his commands and none other. The next book is the book of Galatians. In Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 9, Paul stresses to us, to the Galatians rather, and we can learn from this book, is that there is only one gospel. We'll begin in chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ into another gospel, which is not another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Friends, there's only one gospel. Paul says that. If anyone tries to teach us that something that is different from the Word of God, different from what He has delivered unto us, then friends, Paul quite clearly says, let him be accursed. Let him be anathema. He's a false teacher. There's only one. Some say Galatians 2 and verse 20 is the most beautiful and eloquent verse that Paul ever wrote. It's a verse that we all know by heart, I'm sure. I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. In the life John I live in the flesh, live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. How beautiful is that verse? That we are to give our lives for Christ, just as he gave his life for me. And in this book of Galatians, friends, Galatians 5, 22 and 23, we read there of the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Let each one of us strive to have these things as part of our lives. We move on to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians 1 and verse 3, we read there that all spiritual blessings are found in Christ Jesus. If all spiritual blessings are found in Him, outside of Him there are none. In Ephesians 3 and verse 21, we read, to Him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations forever and ever. Amen. Another key verse I want us to read together is Ephesians 4, 4 through 6. There is one body, one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. Friends, we are one. There is one Lord, one faith, one baptism. Just one. Key verse. Notice now the book of Philippians. Philippians. And I want you to turn with me to chapter 4 to begin. Chapter 4 and verse 4. Quite simply, Paul says there, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Friends, we have much to be happy about in the Lord. And Philippians gives us that. You got your pen and paper, I'm going to give you a short outline of the book of Philippians. It's a great study if you'll take the time to go through it. Philippians chapter 1, specifically verse 21. Friends, we are to let Christ be the purpose of your life. Chapter 2 and verse 5, He is to be the pattern. Chapter 3 and verse 14, He is to be the prize. Chapter 4 and verse 13, Christ is that which empowers. Chapter 1, He is to be the purpose. Chapter 2, the pattern. Chapter 3, the prize. Chapter 4, is He is that which empowers. In the book of Colossians, we see that Christ is in us. He is the hope of glory. Chapter 2 and verse 10, we are not complete without Him. Chapter 3 and verse 16, we are to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. 1 and 2 Thessalonians, the books that we are now studying in our Bible class each Sunday morning, we have three major teachings in these two books. We have the second coming of Christ, 1 Thessalonians 5, 2, and 2 Thessalonians 1, 7 through 9. Paul writes to those at Thessalonica about the great apostasy, 2 Thessalonians 2, 3, and 7. The man of sin there is a personification of evil in this great apostasy. And number 3, we see the teaching of greater faithfulness and less laziness. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, 6 through 11. Command there is found to withdraw from the disorderly. 1 and 2 Thessalonians could be summed up really in one phrase. And that's the title of the book that we're studying on Sunday mornings. He is coming. we must be ready. Paul wrote two letters to Timothy. In 1 Timothy 1 and verse 15, we see reference to our Savior. In chapter 2 and verse 5, that Savior is referred to also as our mediator. He is our lawyer, so to speak. The key word of 1 Timothy is the word doctrine or teaching. Timothy is admonished many times in both of these books, to adhere to the doctrine, to remain faithful to the doctrine that have been delivered unto him. This word doctrine is found 8 times in this book. And friends, we learn here, especially from chapter 3 and verse 15 of 1 Timothy, that the Lord's church is a bulwark of truth. In 2 Timothy, key verses, chapter 1, verses 8 through 10. Chapter 2 and verse 19. Now, turn with me to chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. In verses 1 and 2, Paul writes, I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing in his kingdom, preach the word. Be instant in season, out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. Brother Keewell used to say concerning verse 2, preach the word. When he came to be instant in season, out of season, he says that means preach it when they like it and when they don't like it. That's what Paul was telling Timothy. We drop down then to verses 6 through 8. For I am now ready, Paul says, to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing. Friends, there are many things that we can learn from Paul at the time of his death. And finally, verses 16 and 17. Paul writes, at my first answer, no man stood with me, but all men forsook me. I pray God that it may not be laid to their charge. Notwithstanding, the Lord stood with me and strengthened me, that by me the preaching might be fully known, and that all the Gentiles might hear. And I was delivered out of the mouth of the lion. Friends, we see from 2 Timothy that salvation is through Christ, chapter 1, 8 through 10. Chapter 2 and verse 19, the Lord knows His own. In chapter 4, we see the importance of remaining faithful under the doctrines of Jesus Christ. We go on to Titus. Titus was left in Crete to appoint elders in every city. Turn with me to Titus 2. Notice verses 11 and 12. Titus 2, 11 and 12, many scholars say of this passage that this passage summarizes everything that Paul wrote. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that, denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world. Friends, Paul teaches us right there in those two verses how we are to live the Christian life. Chapter 2 and verse 14, another key verse there. We read, who gave himself, Christ Jesus that is, that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. We look at the book of Philemon. This is one of the 5 one-chapter books in the Bible. In the Old Testament, you had Obadiah. In the New Testament, you have Philemon, 2 John, 3 John, and Jude. The account here is of Onesimus being a runaway slave. He had run away from Philemon, his master. But Philemon was a brother in Christ, but also that master of slaves. And friend, during the time of the Roman Empire, there were 60 million slaves And Christians were told, whether master or slave, to give the best they had to Christ. So Paul sent Onesimus back with this letter to Philemon, and joining him and joining Philemon to accept Onesimus as a brother. And Paul was confident that he would do more than requested. Christ was in their hearts and the center of their lives. Philemon's a great study. We go on to the book of Hebrews. Friends, the book of Hebrews is really the most Christ-centered of all the New Testament epistles. Of the 21 epistles, Hebrews is the most Christ-centered of them all. This book ties the Old Testament and the New Testament together. That was something that many Hebrews, many Jews had struggled with. And the Hebrews writer does a fantastic job. Of course, the Holy Spirit through the Hebrews writer does a fantastic job of tying the Old Testament and the New Testament together, showing how the Old Testament was to bring in the New, and it's centered upon Jesus Christ. We learn that immediately in chapter 1, 1 and 2. That in times past God had spoken by the prophets, but now in these last days has spoken unto us by His dear Son. That Son we know is Jesus the Christ. God speaks through His Son. We learn that in Hebrews. In the book of James, I love the book of James. James is a Christ-centered book in its practicality. There's really not much, if anything, that Christians today cannot take away from that book. It's a very practical book. One to which we can turn when we're suffering. One to which we can turn when we need to know where to turn. We look at the book of James, and friends, we see in it an every single day plan that we are to live for Jesus, James 4:17. We see in James the royal law, James 2 and verse 8. Love your neighbor as yourself. Very practical book. And again, a great study. Look at the book of 1 Peter. Key verses are 1 Peter 1, 3, and 4. 1 Peter 2, 21 and 22, we read there that Christ suffered for us. 1 Peter 4 and verse 16, we learn, friends, that we are going to suffer as a Christian. And all of these things, all those key verses that I just gave you, they equal one thing. Friends, they give us hope. We have hope in our Lord and Savior. Christ suffered, we will suffer, but friends, we have hope in Jesus. In the book of 2 Peter, 2 Peter 1 and verse 3, we are given all things that pertain unto life and godliness. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, we learn, friends, that we are to grow in grace and knowledge. Book of 1 John, great book. John assures us of our salvation in this book. He lets us know that we can know concerning our salvation. 1 John 1, 7 through 9, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, then indeed Jesus Christ is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. His blood is there in chapter 1 and verse 7. Chapter 2, 1 and 2, He is our lawyer. Chapter 4 and verse 14, He is the Savior of the world. In the book of 2 John, verses 9 and 10, we learn there, friends, that we are to abide in His doctrines. We are not to go beyond. We must abide in His doctrines. John, 3 John, rather. The book is written to Gaius. Diotrephes is mentioned that he loved to have the preeminence. And Demetrius bore the letter. Demetrius also mentioned in Colossians. or rather Diotrephes is mentioned in Colossians 1 and verse 18 as well. Now, the book of Jude, I want you to turn to Jude, and I want you to notice with me verse 3. Jude very promptly gets to his purpose in writing this letter. Jude, verse 3. Beloved, when I gave all diligence to write unto you of the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you that you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints. Friends, we are to contend for the faith, that system of faith that has been once and for all delivered. We go down to verse 21. We read there, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Again, we see hope. Verse 24 and 25. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. Jude once more gives us his purpose. We are to contend for that faith. And finally, the book of Revelation. We had a series of sermons just a few short weeks ago concerning the churches of Asia. And friends, when we come to the book of Revelation, it's imperative that we keep that book in its context. John lets us know immediately in verse 3 that these things must shortly come to pass. Key verses are chapter 1 and verse 5, as well as verse 18. We use chapter 2 and verse 10 on numerous occasions. Be thou faithful unto death, and thou shalt receive the crown of life. Chapter 14 and verse 13, as well as 22 and verse 14. But I want us to notice chapter 22 and verse 17. Then I'll give you one of my favorite summaries of the book of Revelation. Chapter 22 and verse 17, we see another great invitation. And the Spirit and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely. We were sitting in class waiting on Brother Cates, who taught the book of Revelation for us in the school of preaching. Brother Mosier comes almost sprinting in the door because Brother Cates is on his way. And he says, I'm going to give you all you need to know about Revelation. Get your pen and your paper. And we sat there waiting, all anxious, ready to write down this great knowledge concerning the book of Revelation. Here's my favorite summary that was ever given. We win. We win. How glorious is God's Word that we can have the encouragement that we need in the New Testament and be assured, friends, that we will win. We win. Let's put away our Bibles. Take out our song books. We're ready to sing the invitation song in just a moment. Second Corinthians 13 and verse 14, we'll read these words. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Friends, the gospel of Jesus Christ, that invitation is extended to all. If you are here this evening having never obeyed His gospel, why not tonight? Why put it off any longer? The message of the New Testament is clear. Friends, if we want to be a friend to Jesus, as we discussed this morning, then we must obey His Word. And friends, in this Bible, in this New Testament, He commands us what we must do to be saved. He demands that we believe in Him, that we repent of sin, that we confess Him before men, and that we be baptized, immersed in water for the forgiveness of sins. Would you do those things this evening? Are you here having done that? Have you fallen away? If we go back to 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9 there, friends, we learn that if we are faithful, if we confess our sins unto Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. Would you repent? Would you be His again? If you have a need, would you come now while we stand and while we sing?